So the 4th of July is a celebration of freedom, and we celebrate the precious gift of freedom that we have because of the price that others have paid for it. In 2 days, we'll celebrate our nation's 241st year of declaring independence from the British Empire. And the Declaration of Independence was actually signed today, July 2nd. It was signed today on my wedding anniversary. It is our wedding anniversary today. Yeah, 47 years. And it's very normal for Leonard to be somewhere fishing on our wedding anniversary. And that's okay. You know, every marriage has a personality and couples learn to work together. Well, the man loves to fish, and this is the best time of year to go fishing. And some of the Cook family was going, and they invited him to come. So, hey, forget the anniversary. We can celebrate that later. He's fishing. So anyway, back to our subject. Actually, the Declaration of Independence was signed on July 2nd, but it was approved 2 days later on July 4th. And John Adams wrote to his wife, Abigail. He said this, "The second day of July, 1776, will be the most memorable epoch in the history of America. I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, with shows, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of this continent to the other from this time forward forevermore." The 4th of July is a special time that we think about the celebration of the freedoms that we have in America. And men and women have fought hard for our freedoms, and they paid a great price. The Declaration of Independence was adopted by the Second Continental Congress on July 4th, 1776, but it was not until after the American Revolution ended that we won our independence from Great Britain. And that was in 1783, the Treaty of Paris on September 3rd. The revolution began in 1775 with a shot heard around the world, which was fired at Lexington on April 19, 1775. So we should enjoy the 4th of July and enjoy the freedoms that we have been given here in America, and appreciate those who have sacrificed their lives so that we can be in this place today to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. To do less would be to waste the high price that was paid for our freedom. So the United States was born based on the ideas of liberty, responsibility, godliness, and the freedom to become what God intended us to become. Our founding fathers believed the idea of freedom was valuable enough to risk everything. They risked their fortunes, their families, their reputations, and their honor. They risked their very lives, and many of them paid for our freedom with their blood and the blood of their children. The men that signed the Declaration of Independence, they knew the risk that they were taking by signing that. It wasn't just a casual signing. They knew that there could be severe consequences for what they were doing. So in a letter to William Smith dated November 13, 1787, Thomas Jefferson wrote, "The tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. No freedom is not free. The price is always paid in blood." And so, just a little sharing on the Declaration of Independence. We're going to shift into what Jesus Christ did for us. Because 2,000 years ago, Jesus was willing to spill his blood on the ground so that we could experience freedom from the law of sin and death. America was receiving freedom from the British Empire. We receive, everyone in the world can receive freedom from the law of sin and death. Let's go to Romans 8, verses 1 through 2. Let's read it together. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. There is no condemnation. Tell your neighbor there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Condemnation is an adverse statement. It is to make a judgment against. It is to sentence or to damn. And often we sentence ourselves and we have adverse remarks that go on in our own head and bring on condemnation ourselves. And we also experience that from other people. They will condemn you by saying, well, you don't really have the abilities to do what you're doing. Or, you know what? You're just not smart enough. I don't think you're going to make it. Have you ever heard those remarks? A few times, Pastor Toby said. Because they will say things to demean you and to put you down. For some reason in the human nature, people enjoy putting someone else down because it makes them feel bigger. But that's not how it is in the kingdom of God, and that isn't how Christians are to live. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, so you have no business condemning someone else. Hallelujah. Let's go on with that verse. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There's that word again. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. You see, the condemnation is associated with the law of sin and death. So if we are condemning ourselves or we are saying adverse statements against other people, we are taking league with the law of sin and death, not only in our life, but we're releasing death over another person. It is a serious thing what we say and what we think. The word is full of scripture and direction and instructions for how we are to speak, how we are to treat one another, and what we are to think about. The word law here has the same meaning as it does in Romans 7, 23 through 24. That verse is not in the PowerPoint, but if you want to make a note next to your notes, Romans 7, 23 to 24. I'll read it for you. And Paul is saying, he sees another law in my members. He said, I see another law in my members. And it's warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? So Paul recognized that there was a war going on the inside of him. It's another law in my members. It's that law of sin. And it's warring against the law of my mind. You know, the Lord said he would write his law upon the tables of our heart. And whatever is in our heart is what we are going to be thinking about. And we have been given the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. But there is something on the inside of us, our carnal nature, that will war against the mind of Christ that we have. It wars against the law of the Spirit of life that is on the inside of us. And this is what law means. It's an inward principle of action operating with the fixedness and regularity of a law. So when you see the words, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, this is what it means. That new principle of action, which the Spirit of Christ has opened up within us, it's the law of our new being. When we're born again by the Spirit of God, something takes possession of our inner man, the Spirit of life, right? Right. Okay. And so we are set free because of the shed blood of Jesus from the law of sin and death. Let's go to John 34 through 36. Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." You see, at one time, we were slaves to sin. And you may be sitting here today, and you are a slave to sin. But because of the blood of Jesus Christ and the Spirit of the living God, there is a transformation that takes place inside of us, in our inner man, that will set us free from the law of sin and death and cause us to be born again by the Spirit of God and to become sons of God. We're not slaves. Slaves do not have an inheritance with the family. We have an inheritance because we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. He is our Father, and He loves us. We are His children, and He's watching over us, and He provides for us above and beyond what we could ever ask or think. Has anyone here ever had a miracle provision done in your life? Would you wave your hand? God takes care of us. He takes care of us. He knows what we have need of before we even ask Him. And because we are set free from the law of sin and death, there is no condemnation. And we find truth and life in Jesus Christ. It's the only place we have to go. We have freedoms in America, but there's nothing like the freedom that you have when you're in Christ Jesus. And when you walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. You see, the flesh will try to wrap you up and entangle you and keep you in chains and keep you in bondage. The flesh will speak very loud to you. And we have to crucify the flesh, the scripture says. You crucify it by not giving it what it wants. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Yeah, are we alive out there today? Hallelujah. We have a son relationship with the Father of the universe. And we are born into God's family when we are born again by the Spirit of God. John 1, 12 through 13, which isn't in your notes, but you might want to write that down. I'm going to read it to you. It says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." This born again experience is because God chooses you to be in his family. The scripture clearly says that God chose us. We chose him by yielding to his plan for our life. Hallelujah. So our membership in God's family as sons and daughters is real. And it's right. And it is eternal. Because we're no longer slaves of the law and sin and death. but we are set free by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm. Tell your neighbor, stand firm. And do not let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Don't let yourself get wrapped up and tangled up again in things that are familiar. The familiar will call you. What you are messed up in and what messed up your life has a voice. And it'll keep calling you to reconnect that. Don't get tied up in that again. Don't get tied up in the ways of the world. We're not supposed to be entangled with the ways of the world. A good soldier does not entangle himself with the world. We have no attachments to the world. We're not to have. We are to have attachments to one another because we are the body of Christ. And God has connected us together for his divine purpose. And together we encourage each other. Together we bring life into the body. When you have a family gathering and someone's missing, you miss them, don't you? You miss that person because they bring something special. Well, that's what it's like on Sunday morning. When not everyone is in the house, we miss them. It'd be good for you to call somebody up and say, I really missed you on Sunday. I hope you're okay. We know why Jenna's gone. I don't know if you heard, but Jenna Lover had a baby boy yesterday. Grandma Leslie and Grandpa Tim. There's a little Wesley Jr. in the world now. So here comes Tim. He wants a hand too. He's waving at us. He's a proud grandpa. So we are so thankful for this new little life that God has blessed Jenna and Wes with. Amen. And so now we have three babies recently born, Isabella, and we have Logan, and now we have Wesley. Yes, we have new members. And we love babies, so we are so excited for Jenna and Wes. Thank you, Lord. We need to stand firm. As parents, you stand firm. As grandparents, you stand firm. Stand firm and do not let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Don't give in to the pull of the world. Don't give in to the voices trying to take you back from where you came. God delivered you from that. By the grace of God, I am what I am today. By the grace of God. I was talking with someone this last week. Well, I believe it was Roxanne, and we were sharing. You know, we are not the people we were 20 years ago. I've known Roxanne for over 20 years. We are not the people we were 20 years, and we were just being thankful and grateful that we're not. Amen? Because God continues to do a deep work on the inside of each one of us to change us to be more like Jesus. That's the whole purpose of why we're here. It's so that we would be transformed into the image of his dear son. And that very blueprint is on the inside of us. Because we're made in the image of God. Tell your neighbor, you're made in the image of God. Hallelujah. So tell them there's hope. Let's read our next verse. 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18 says this. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So whatever situation you're in today, it might look like a real mess, and your life might, you might feel like your life is upside down. You can't handle your children. You can't pay your bills. Well, you know what? God says that He is going to transform you from glory to glory. There's some glory going to come into your life if you will continue to look into the perfect law of liberty. God is going to turn it around for you. This is a year of turnaround. It's a year of turnaround for the body of Christ. God is waking us up and He is turning us around, and He will show up if you'll show up in His presence. Come on. Come on. Get in His presence and God will show up, and He takes your mess and He turns it into glory, because you're not going to go to the next glory till the mess you're in has become glory. Hallelujah. God's going to straighten it out. Tell your neighbor, God's working for you. Thank you, Lord. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The Spirit of the Lord is in us, right? So in us is liberty. There's freedom inside each one of us. Freedom, the spirit of freedom, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The Spirit of the living God lives on the inside of me, so inside of me there is liberty. God wants to set us free from all of the condemning thoughts that bombard our minds about who we are. You see, God is wanting to break out of us and show His glory, show His power, that you would walk in freedom and you'll be confident in who you are. We need some confidence and some boldness to be who God called us to be. He's the one that's given us an identity. We tend to take on the identity of what everybody else says about us. And we're so worried about what they think about us that it actually holds us back and keeps us from becoming who God has called us to be. But where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Hallelujah. And the Spirit of the Lord is in me. So I am free. Let that sink in. We are free. He freed us from the law of sin and death. Satan had an assignment for you. He had an assignment for you to destroy you. It wasn't to help you, but it was to cause destruction in your life. But the Lord came in, and when the Lord came in, the spirit of life cancels out that spirit of death. And so we are set free from the assignments of the enemy. So don't take agreement with them when he's talking to you. You know, he doesn't give up. Tell your neighbor he won't give up. He keeps after us to come into agreement with his plans. And he's so deceptive. He's so deceptive and he's so sneaky that we can find ourselves agreeing with what he says because we look at our circumstances with our natural eyes instead of looking at our circumstances with the faith that God has given to us. See, faith believes in what it cannot see because God's word said it. God's word says it. If God's word says it, then that should settle it for us. God wants to renew our minds. He wants to wake us up. Hallelujah. And you begin right where you're at. We used to sing a song, Little as Much When God is in It. You know, often we don't do what we know we're supposed to do because we think we don't have enough. But what we've learned from ministry over the last 23 years is when we step out in faith, God moves. You got to be willing to take a risk. A lot of you sitting here are not risk takers. You like things very comfortable, very peaceful. You like to know exactly what's going to happen. Tell your neighbor, God doesn't work like that. If we knew all that, we wouldn't have to have any faith. Is that right? When we stepped out and bought our first building, Pastor Leonard and I, we had to have faith that God would help us make the payment. We only had about 10 people, if that. And actually, when the praise team came up to lead worship, there was 3 left in the congregation. And there was 275 seats and 3 people. But we praised God anyhow. We prayed anyhow. Because the Lord called us to be a house of prayer. We prayed. And we prayed. And we still pray. And we still pray. And God continues to meet all of our needs according to His riches and glory. Because that's the way God is. So when we bought this building, one of our members showed up and said, "You know what? Who do you think you are? You're never going to make it in this building. You'll never be able to pay your bills." Well, thanks. I just canceled your membership. You see those words of condemnation? They come in to stop the plan and the move of God. And what you're thinking eventually comes out of your mouth. And if your words do not line up with what the Word of God says and what He has called you to do or what He's called the church to do, then you better keep your mouth shut and repent and get on your knees and ask the Lord to forgive you and give you the heart and the mind of Christ for what He is doing. Because it's never going to look easy. And it's not going to be easy. Americans like everything easy. Well, I'm telling you, this is not an easy road. If you're on the battlefield, it is not an easy road. When you're walking in the will of God, whatever you are doing, you've got to fight and you've got to push and you've got to talk to yourself. Do you talk to yourself? I talk to myself every day. I tell myself what I'm going to think and I tell my body what it's going to do. I say, you are going to get up and you're going to do this. I'm like, oh, I'd just rather watch the home improvement show. Come on, we all struggle with that. But you got to talk to yourself. You got to, what comes out of your mouth needs to agree with what God says to you. We put aside our prophetic words and we don't even look at them again. We just get all excited when we get a word. You probably all have a word that God has spoken over you that you could pull out and you could begin to war over your word. It just doesn't happen osmosis. But it is a war. We are in a battle and we are warriors. We are warriors. Every one of us. Not just men, but also women. God has called us to fight. He has called us to war. Because He has called us to help others be delivered from that law of sin and death. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And we have been set free from the law of sin and death. And we have the spirit of life, the law of life, the law. It's actually a working law inside of us. You can disobey the law. God gives us a choice. Someone said to me the other day, I wish we could just like, God would, you know, just not make us have so many choices. But that's not how it works. He loves us, so He gives us a choice. Because He loves us, we can choose the law of life and love, or we can choose the law of sin and death. It's our choice. You know, when you're driving your car or you disobey a traffic law or whatever, you might get caught by a police officer and you might not, right? Does anyone look in your rearview mirror to... Oh, I hope no one was around. Have you ever done that? Okay, yeah, we're all human, right? I'm driving down the road praying and not really paying attention, you know, and I'll go through a light that has been yellow too long and turns red before I get through. Have you ever done that? And then you look like in your rearview mirror and I'm thinking, oh, I hope there aren't any police officers around. I've never had a ticket. Maybe I shouldn't say that. Not that I didn't deserve a ticket, okay? But that's amazing. That would be my plea. Please, I've never had a ticket. Don't give me one. Might not work, right? But my point is this. With the law of sin and death and the law of love and life, nobody sees what you're choosing most of the time. You can't see what's going on in someone's head, in their thoughts, in their personal life. When we come together, everybody puts on their best. What you do in your private life, God knows. And we might try to convince ourselves that we can get away with this. I'm not going to get caught. But the scripture says, your sins will find you out. They will find you out. So it's so good that in your private time, in our private time, we can repent and ask the Lord to forgive us, to set us free from this pattern of death in our life. And let the spirit of love and life, the laws that are associated with the law of the spirit of life, to work in our lives. If we don't know what those laws are and those principles are, God will teach you. We will have no excuse. He said, the Holy Spirit's your teacher. The Holy Spirit is your teacher. If you ask Holy Spirit will teach you. He will show you the way. Let's read James 1:25. I think that's where we are. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. The perfect law of liberty is the gospel rule of life as shown in the Sermon on the Mount. By the Spirit of the Lord, we are free from the bondages of sin. Continue in the perfect law of liberty by living according to the Beatitudes. We just spent several weeks studying our Beatitudes that the Lord gave us. And actually, the Beatitudes call us to a higher standard of holiness than was in the law. People say, we're not under the law. No, you have a higher standard now. Come on, there's a higher standard. There's a standard of holiness that God is holding up here. We can't keep that standard without his help. And the word for sin actually is miss the mark. Sometimes we miss the mark. Even though we really tried, we miss the mark. Is, you know what I'm talking about? We do. But there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. God will straighten it up. So don't beat yourself up. Get up and keep going. Get up and keep pushing towards the mark. But the Beatitudes actually raise the standard of Christian living. It raised the standard. Isn't that something? Most people just want to say, well, we're not under the law. We don't have to do any of that. No, you have to do more. Now, if you just think you hate your brother in your heart, you're a murderer. Now, if you lust after a woman in your heart, you're an adulterer. It goes higher. God's calling us higher. Tell your neighbor, God's calling us higher. Hallelujah. Let's close with this. For by one man's offense, death reigned through the one. Much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. He has provided for us to reign in this life. That scripture right there leaves us without any excuse. Is that right? Come on, the Word of God begins to cut at our soul and our spirit, and it cuts away those crazy ideas and ungodly beliefs that we have stuck in our head. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. So today we declare our freedom in Christ Jesus, that we are set free from the law of sin and death. Can you say that? I am set free from the law of sin and death. And I have the law of life working on the inside of me. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your freedom. Freedom reigns in this place. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the words that have come forth today. Let it be sealed in our hearts. Let this message be sealed in our heart. And we thank you, Lord, that your word performs what it is sent out to do, that the word of God continues to work in our hearts and our minds to transform us and to change us and to make us into the image of Jesus Christ. Thank you for every person that is here today. Bless them and strengthen them and draw each one of us closer to you. And Father, we ask that you give us a safe and happy 4th of July. But Lord, what we're most happy about is the freedom that we have in you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Let's give the Lord another praise.